You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
On Tuesdays on the Fan Morning Show is the time for former Steelers offensive lineman, two-time Super Bowl champion Trey Essex. He is with us now, coming to us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Trey, hope you had a very good holiday. Hope you have a great new year as well. But, man, the Steelers did not give us a gift on Sunday. That was one of the ugliest performances of 2025, and I would expect you to agree.
Totally. It is now Tuesday, 8:03, and me and Charlie Batch got a little bit of therapy yesterday as we reviewed the game yesterday on the Snap Count. Make sure you guys tune in, Snap Count on X, and then Big Play Pittsburgh on YouTube and Instagram. But yeah, that's about as ugly as it gets with everything that was on the line, with it being a t-shirt and hat game, is what we call those games when they are for a division title. That was about as ugly a performance as you can have offensively. I thought the defense actually showed up in the second half and played winning football. But offensively, that was about as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to jump all over the defense, because really beyond the first couple of minutes, and I still thought it was a, you know, sort of a fluky touchdown pass for Shedeur Sanders, just floating it up there that Harold Fannin hauled in. I saw a post earlier. The Browns had 41 yards of offense on 21 plays in the second half. I mean, that makes it sting even more that the Steelers could not win the football game. From your vantage point, offensively, biggest issue, I feel like it has to start with the quarterback, no?
It is. It's the quarterback and the decision-making and the execution. When we lose, it hurts more because of how we lose. Now, later that night, the Sunday night game, the Bears lost a game to the San Francisco 49ers. And if I was a Bears, I'm frustrated that we lost that game, but I'm feeling good because we put a good performance out there. We dictated what we wanted to do. With our offense, it feels like we're always on our heels. We're always adjusting to what the defense does. We don't come in with the confidence that we have an identity and we're going to do what we want to do offensively. We should have went to that game and handed the ball off to Gainwell and Warren 30, 40 times. There was no other reason not to, with your big number one receiver out in DK and your next best receiver, or the most consistent receiver, being Kenneth Gainwell. You would have thought he had 6+ catches and at least 10 targets, and he wasn't targeted in the second half at all. So some of the decisions we were making, not playing to our strengths, not running the ball consistently enough when it was working, and decided to throw fade routes to Scotty Miller on 4th and 1, that's the stuff that just drives me crazy, and it makes you mad as a Steelers fan when these are the issues that you're dealing with. It's common sense to us. How come it isn't common sense to them?
Now, Trey, you bring up that play to Scotty Miller on 4th and 1, and I wanted to ask you about that, so I'm glad you transitioned into it. Now, I only played football at the high school and then D3 college level, but I also played offensive line. Now, you can answer this from the NFL aspect, too, which is perfect for this. Would there be times for you when you would hear a play, or you would hear a play get checked into something else, and think, what are we doing? This is not going to work. Like, I wonder if you could ask everybody on the Steelers offense that question about that 4th and 1 play, like what the mindset was of, yeah, I'm going to throw a go route to Scotty Miller on 4th and 1. Like, that's what I'm checking into here.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the call in the huddle. Usually we
right. I feel
call.
Like he like audibled into that.
It was an option on the play that he decided to go there. Like, it was within the framework of the play call, and nobody knows what the quarterback's going to end up doing once the play is called, because the number one option, the number one read on that was Adam Thielen. It was obvious. But obviously A-Rod has free reign. He saw a single high safety. Any other time, if that's DK or George Pickens, if he's here, not get traded away to the Cowboys, that's a I don't mind that call. You're going to one of your best playmakers in a crucial situation, and that's their specialty. It's a jump ball or a one-on-one ball or a 50-50 ball. Scotty Miller has only been active for 2 weeks. I can't imagine they built the rapport. He's built a rapport with A-Rod in that short amount of time. Granted, he's been here all season long, but he hasn't been in a game-time situation in this type of moment on that type of play and has come through before. Meanwhile, we were running the ball well inside. Now, to answer your question specifically, as an offensive lineman, my bias is to always run the ball. Always. I always think if it's a pass, you should have ran the ball. If it doesn't work, I'm like, told you so. You should have ran the ball. We already run well. And they had just ran a beautiful tush push earlier in the game with Connor Hayward, a fake tush push with that little option read. Yep. So it's like, these are the plays that have been working. We have been doing that well with Connor. Why are we deviating away from what's working and doing something that we haven't done the entire season? It's crazy to me. I don't understand that logic from Arthur Smith or A-Rod. Now, I think Arthur called the right play. Like I said, they had that rub route with the Freiermuth running a streak and rubbing mm-hmm. off for Thielen to come over the middle, a little mesh route, and he was open. And that's the number one read. Arthur called that. So I can't blame Arthur for that. I'm just wondering what A-Rod is doing, not playing to our strengths. That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah, it felt like the way that Jaylen Warren was running the football. He had 12 for 64 on the day. I mean, you're running for that successful mm-hmm. of a clip every time. You got to get the football in that guy's hands more often. Kenneth Gainwell only ran the ball 7 times in the game. It does seem to correlate, and I brought this up with John Harbaugh and the Ravens. You notice when they lose games, it's because they're not giving the football to Derrick Henry. Kind of the same thing here, Trey. I feel like if you give the football to Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell more, you're probably going to win the football game.
The crazy thing is that's exactly what the recipe was when we won the 3 games prior. I had a little stat, and it was give the ball to Gainwell and Warren 25 plus times, and they did that each of the last 3 games, and we won the game. Between them two, they should have 25, and that's being modest. I think, honestly, between those two, they should have 30 plus, with Warren getting at least 17 and Gainwell finding his way with the rest of the reps. But it's crazy to me that when you see what happened with the Baltimore Ravens team who didn't play to their strengths, when they just stopped running the ball against New England with the lead, and New England came back and won that game and put them in the precarious situation they were in on Saturday, they went back to what worked for them, and that was Derrick Henry running the ball downhill and just completely bruising the Green Bay defense. And you would think with that recipe, with the weather the way it was, with the fact that it was only a 1-score game the entire game, why are we passing the ball 2 times as many times as we're running the ball? It's just, it flies into the face of common sense.
Yeah, and I can't believe I feel this way, and I want to see if you feel the same way, Trey. If the Ravens decide to go with Tyler Huntley on Sunday night, I'm actually mm-hmm. more fearful of that, because if they play an 80% Lamar Jackson, he'll take the game into his hands too much. If it's Huntley, they're just going to give the ball to Derrick Henry, their best player.
That is exactly right. That's exactly what they're going to do, and they did this past Saturday. And not to take any away from Snoop Huntley, he played a hell of a game on Saturday too, when given the opportunity to pass the ball or scramble, which has been an issue for us, is mobile quarterbacks getting outside the pocket. Shador did it a few times as well. So, yes, I am. The way that Huntley played on Saturday was the best the quarterback position has looked for the Baltimore all year long, because Lamar has been compromised from the beginning of the season. He's going to want to play. He's going to want to ride for his boys. I know that. So I'm hoping he does, because I think a compromised Lamar is worse for that offense than what you were pointing to. If Tyler Huntley starts, they're going to ride Derrick Henry.
A few more minutes with former Steelers offensive lineman Trey Essex, a 2-time Super Bowl champ. Trey, it felt like the consensus Saturday night after the Ravens won that game in Green Bay was that the Steelers would then lose on Sunday. And I started out the show by, you know, just calling myself an idiot. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought, you know what? Aaron Rodgers will make sure that, you know, they stay focused on this. They don't have DK Metcalf. They don't have Calvin Austin. They don't have TJ Watt. But I think they'll do enough to take care of business. They're playing a bad team with a bad rookie QB. Did you ever get that feeling as a player, probably not a whole lot because you got to play with, you know, and you had Big Ben every time you went into Cleveland, at least. But, you know, going into a game against a pretty down opponent, like a weird feeling beforehand, and then what would result in kind of an upset loss?
I remember one game, and I think it was that that game versus the Raiders way back when Richard Seymour gave Ben a right hook. Yeah, I think it was that game. That was a weird game. I think Terrell Pryor also had like some kind of 98-yard touchdown.
Yes.
That was a weird game.
Jeanette's own 93-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that like it was yesterday. That was we went there. That was a weird feeling. But we had to like traverse cross-country. We never felt that way when we were going somewhere in division, like especially Cleveland. And I thought going into this game that Aaron Rodgers, despite those weird feelings that guys might have got, would be the X factor. And he was, but just for the other team. Because I think ultimately his decision-making was what cost us the game.
What is your confidence level that they can get the job done in Week 18?
I think winner takes all, home game in Pittsburgh. We've had relatively good success at home when facing Baltimore with things on the line. I give us a fighter's chance. If we stop Derrick Henry, we win the game. That is the bottom line. We stop Derrick Henry, which I will give the defense credit. They have stepped up in a big way versus the run. Even Derrick Henry didn't eclipse 100 yards, even though he got close to it the first time around. But they've shut down some elite runners during this run. They shut down Jonathan Taylor. They shut down Jahmyr Gibbs. They shut down Achane for the most part. And so if they can do that versus Derrick Henry, I think we win this game. And then I think we win it comfortably within like a touchdown. That's about as comfortable as you can get in this rivalry.
How big of a loss is Darnell Washington to what the Steelers want to do on the ground?
It's huge because not only is he a heck of a player, it's going to be interesting how they rotate, because what we've been doing is that jumbo package with Spencer Anderson is he would come in and be the extra tight end on top of Darnell Washington, and then we would bring in Andres Pete to play left guard. Now, I think a lot of this is contingent based on the health of Isaac Seumalo. Hopefully he comes back, because he was playing some amazing ball this year, and he solidifies that line, even though I think the least of our worries, ironically, going into this game is our offensive line. It's been playing the strongest, I think, of any unit consistently at this point in the year, so I have a lot of faith in them. But not having Darnell Washington is going to have a trickle-down effect. And if we get Isaac Seumalo back, plan on seeing a lot of Spencer Anderson at tight end. And so he might start and play at least 40, 50 snaps at tight end, because Darnell Washington is a big part of our offense and is definitely going to hurt us a little bit not having him out there.
And Trey, going on about the offensive line, I mean, you were the Steelers' offensive line utility man for a handful of seasons, kind of before Kelvin Beachum came around and did the same thing, which, you know, as an aside, it amazes me that he's still in the league. What a amazing career that he has turned out as a former seventh rounder. But your thoughts on the offensive line, a group that I think has really come together, and specifically the right side of that offensive line, Frazier McCormick and Fautanu, all in the same draft class, and they all seem like guys that can be really good here for about a decade.
Oh, that right side is going to be good for the next 10 years. That's one side. The way they've played and the way they developed has been fun to watch, because you don't even worry about them anymore. You're not even questioning the snap issue with Zach Frazier that he had last year. And you're not even questioning how good Mason McCormick is, coming, what, fourth or fifth round out of Montana or North Dakota State, one of those schools and then obviously Troy Fontano, he has the resume. He was a left tackle at Washington, but came and played right tackle and has made it his own. He is doing some things out there. Like, Troy is fun to watch because he has moves. And usually when you think about offensive linemen, they don't have moves. He is punching, he is trapping, he is quick setting, he is setting back vertical setting. So it's fun to watch. Now, this left side is going to be interesting with Broderick coming up. I don't know if they're going to give him that fifth year. I don't think they will, especially with the way Dylan Cook has been playing. But Dylan Cook has been playing lights out. That's been cool to see, too. And if we can keep Isaac Seumalo there for at least two or three more years, we have a solid line. I think we're going to next year with at least a top 10, maybe top five offensive line.
Do you think they may just stick with Dylan Cook, given the way he's played?
I think they're going to have a competition. I think they're going to have an open competition. I mean, they did invest in Broderick, and he was playing better when he got hurt. And so you got to at least give him the chance to compete for that position. But I think Dylan Cook has played so good that he goes into camp next year as a number one tackle.
Trey, before we let you go, remind people where to find you.
Find us on the Snap Count on Twitter. Me and Charlie Batch giving you our 2 cents on the Steelers and the state of the Steelers. And also on YouTube at Big Play Pittsburgh and Instagram. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Friday at 2 p.m.
Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman, two-time Super Bowl champ. Trey, thanks for taking the time, man. Have a great new year.
Appreciate it, Donnie. Have a happy new year, brother.
There we go. Trey Essex.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.